We'll go ahead and get started. Thank you. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Daniel Odell, Chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me are the other members of the BZA, and across the tables here to my left are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table near the entrance here at the back of the room. Pursuant to BZA administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order. Staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, a motion, and then a second, further discussion among board members, and then finally a vote. Members of the public may address the board and the following rules apply. Each person shall speak for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for a rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium here at the front and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record, and appeals of decisions by the BZA are made to Knoxville City Council. A petition of such an appeal shall be filed with Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. I will now ask Ms. Scobie to call the roll.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
Ebony James.
Here.
Daniel Odell.
I'm here.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here.
Amy Shiro.
Here.
All right, very good. To keep us moving today, I need to ask if there's a motion to approve last month's meetings from 11/15/22.
So moved.
I have one motion.
Second.
Second. All in favor to approve those meeting minutes, aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? No one's opposed. Those are approved. Thank you. Moving right along to our agenda, we'll start with old business today. 9C22VA, which is 7727 Kingston Pike. If you're here to speak to this, please step forward. Name and address for the record, please.
Sir. Yes, my name is Bud Cullum, 6312 Kingston Pike, Knoxville. This is Gilmore Connors, and he's a partner of mine on this project.
Thank you. Let me ask real quick, just for the record, are there any further comments from the city on this one?
No additional comments.
No further comments. Thank you. Just tell us about your variance request.
So we were here, I believe, first time, I think it was September, in September, asking for a variance. There was an issue that at the time, unfortunately, we didn't know about from KUB, but in the intervening time, we have gotten with KUB. We have modified the request for our variance, and we have, and I believe the staff should have a letter or an email from KUB addressing those concerns. Those concerns are no longer there. And we're essentially asking now for, we originally asked for a 10-foot setback variance, and through a, pretty much a major portion of the property on Kingston Pike. After working with KUB and adjusting the plan, we're only asking for that in the area where, and what we are saying our hardship is where when the state came in a few years ago, they took right of way to the top of the slope. And even though we're asking for a 10-foot variance, the effective setback is still going to be much greater than it is on the bulk of the property, because you see where the large amount of the right of way that the state took. And there was a question at the last meeting as to how can you claim a hardship? You knew what the property was when you purchased it. And I need to set the record straight. We have not purchased the property yet. And this is a major issue on whether we do purchase the property. But I do have a person who signed up to speak if need be, Tom Hale here. And Tom Hale represents the current ownership of the property. And if need be, he could explain to the board where the hardship lies and some of the history and the fact that they are still the owner and we would be purchasing it if we could get this worked out. So with that, I'll leave it at that. And if there's questions that I can answer or if Mr. Hale needs to answer anything, we're here to answer it.
Sure. Absolutely. Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this variance request? Okay, no one's raising their hand. Questions and comments from the board on this one?
I have a comment. I, in looking at the way the property line kind of jets in two-thirds of the way through the property, I think that is a hardship. That's an irregularity. And I think for them to have to step back the building an additional 10 feet when I think keeping it the consistent size is more appropriate and effectively is the same setback from the street. So based on that, I'm supportive of this resolution.
Could I, and I couldn't hear you. You're not supportive of it?
I am supportive.
Okay.
Comments, questions? I tend to agree. It's an odd parcel where it's at for lots of different reasons. I think the history of the property matters, but in terms of what is there even today, it's a tough property to make work with the way the roads work, if nothing else. I think some variance is going to be needed on this property for whatever project would go here, most likely. And this one seems very reasonable to me.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to approve item 9-C-22-VA due to the property line hardship.
I'll second that. But Ebony, you had a question?
Ebony, you're going to have to talk to me. Sorry, my bad. I just wanted to point out, talk a little bit more about the what may be topographical issue on the parcel, whatever. I know the city put some comments on here as well. Y'all hear me? I think I can hear myself, but.
I can't hear you. Sorry.
Stop screaming.
Just get up on it.
You have to eat it.
Well, yeah, real close.
All right.
There you go.
Y'all hear me?
There, talk right in there.
It is user error then, so sorry about that. So just looking at the staff comments as well, and I just wanted to clarify with staff, is there something, I just want to know, is there something I'm missing? Because I thought it was reasonable myself, as some of the other board members pointed out, but do you all have any concerns about it yourself, or?
We have no objections to it. I just merely provide a staff report with comments associated with the property.
Okay.
The decision rendered by the board is what matters.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think I read it, you know, saying that the hardship is coming from the shape of the building. And I would say that's true, right? It's a very large parcel. So yes, there's some irregularities. I'm much more in favor of this than the original. I think this is a much more reasonable request. But I think that's what the city is just being matter of fact of. You could change the shape of the building and be within the setback.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Thank you so much. That clarified my point. I'm supportive.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? None opposed, motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Okay, 12A22VA. I understand that we have an applicant on Zoom for this one. Mr. Cotner there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, there you are.
Can you hear me?
I can. If you can, go ahead and set your name and address for the record for us.
Javante Cotner, 1829 Asrock Drive.
Sure. Were there any other comments from staff on this one? No further comments from staff. Mr. Cotner, if you could tell us about your application and what your hardship is, please.
The hardship is zone commercial, and I feel like everything around it is residential. and the commercial is making me not be able to build my 30-foot wide home, and I'm trying to get it reduced to 9 foot before I can be able to build the house.
Okay. That seems pretty straightforward. Let me ask if there's anyone here in opposition to this variance request. There's no one here. All right, questions from staff or questions from the board?
I think we've had one of these very similar for us recently that we approved, and it's a circumstance, yeah, where it's zoned office, but residential is allowable use, and this just creates an inconsistent setback. So I think approving this keeps it consistent with the existing neighborhood footprint, consistent setbacks on the neighboring properties. So I'm supportive. I make a motion. We approve 12-A-22-VA as submitted.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve 12A-22VA. Forgive me, I'm catching up just a little bit here because I had a computer issue.
It's also a very narrow lot for such a deep setback. It would only allow for 19.34 feet of wide of a house if followed exactly, if I understand correctly.
Sure. Okay. Any further comment? We have a motion and a second to approve 12A-22VA as submitted. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? No one's opposed. Motion carries. You're approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving right along, 12B-22VA. Mr. Holmes, 1915 Forest Avenue. You could come on up.
John Holmes, 5914 Gray Gables Drive.
Thank you, sir. Any further comments from staff on this one? All right. Thank you very much. Tell us about your application, please, and the nature of your hardship.
Yeah, so this property is 50 foot by 133 foot. This block is kind of unique in that it's got a lot of different zoning classifications on it. There's several O. This one happens to be IMU. And then there's a RN5 beside it to the west. So the request is to decrease that interior side setback from 15 foot to 4 on that west side. And then the IMU has some other things in there. They're kind of geared towards transparency for, you know, if it's a storefront, sort of to reduce that from 30% to 20% on the front. And then the parking being at the rear, the interior side setback for a parking lot need to go from 20 foot to 8'6" since it's beside the residential district. Now it's going to have a residential use as well, so it'll still be residential versus residential.
Okay. Questions? I need to ask if there's anyone here in opposition. No one's here to speak in opposition, so let's move right along. Questions or comments from our board?
Yes, the first thing that comes to my mind, I mean, looking at the mixture of zones there, was, you know, would a rezoning be more appropriate? But it sounds like there would still be a need to request variances even if you went through that process. Same.
Right.
Seems like some of the requirements in this zone would be more appropriate if this were a large contiguous block, you know, a large multifamily development where you'd have the transparency requirements where we see that requirement more often on a parcel this size. That
it's a pretty funky block. There's RN5, there's IMU, then it jumps to O, then back to IMU, then back to O.
Yeah, it's a bunch of spot zoning. But I had the same thought as Amy. When I get it rezoned, but
looking at the building that shows up on the aerial, I don't know if it's still there, if it's already been demolished, but it looks like it would have been, you know, a residential building, and it would have been non-conforming to these requirements as well. So,
yeah,
I don't know that this request is making it worse.
Is there anything about the topography there that's affecting?
The topography, it does drop off about 9 to 10 feet from Forest Avenue to the north. So it's a pretty steep drop off. Yeah.
Okay. Any further questions or comments?
The plan you have here, is that a sight stair that's going down within that 4 foot setback?
There's an existing staircase there.
Okay, so you're leaving that staircase as is, and
correct. We'll need some kind of staircase to get up to the front. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's an existing concrete stair.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
So is that setting where your building location is?
Correct. It won't be moved. Yeah.
That's actually a little bit more persuasive to me for that setback, because I was thinking, does it have to be that small? And not that it has to be with that stair, but if you want to reuse it, it makes sense to put the building there. I guess it doesn't have to. Yeah, it doesn't have to. So then my question is, what is driving the width of the building?
Parking. To have more room in the rear for parking.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually separate from the building itself.
I'm sorry.
That's actually separate from the building itself.
Correct. We still have to meet the number of parking spaces required. So we need to get the 6 across the back. So we have to have that the full depth. So I'm making the house a little bit wider.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise you'd be asking for a parking variance if you interpreted that
right. Which is not very preferred in the fort.
I think it's a good use of the lot in this case. Seems like to me it's, you know, in order to make it work, you've got to push one way or the other, I think.
Yeah, I think if you compare it to if it was zoned R, I'd be asking for a 5 foot to a 4 foot variance as well. So it'd be almost the same, the 1 foot.
But I think it would be 15 feet combined.
Correct. The sum would have to be a separate variance as well. Yeah. The sum doesn't apply in the IMU.
I hesitate a little bit on the amount of the variance, but I don't know. I also think it's reasonable.
I'll make a motion to approve. Remember me on 12B, 22VA.
We have a motion.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Further comments, questions? Okay, all in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Anyone's opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
12C, 22VA, Mr. Hayes on Chapman Highway. Any further questions from city staff on this one? No further.
I'm Gary Hayes.
Yes, sir.
4302 York Road, Knoxville, Tennessee.
What we've come to ask for is it's at Fast Pace Health Care out on Chapman Highway, and we're asking for additional square footage. The lot is very, very narrow, which made for a very narrow sign, building, and the scope of the criteria is based on the width of the building with the height, and that square footage limited signage. They're wanting to put signage on both sides of the building, and they were wanting to raise it up 26 inches above the roof line, because that's their corporate identity, is the reason they were wanting to raise that 26 inches higher than what the roof line is, and that the code calls for the signs not to rise, to raise above the roof line.
Okay. So, Shreyas, you would say that the majority of this is driven by corporate identity?
Well, the raising of the sign on the, but you're looking at that elevation right there.
Yeah.
That corporate identity would want that raised above that roof line because of that corporate identity. That's the way they do it. And whereas the code would require the top of that sign to be even with that roof line. And on the narrowness of the lot, they're requesting a second sign on the side of the building, which would require an additional, I think it's 28 square feet would be the additional variance to get the sign on the side of the building. Also, that's what they're asking for.
Sure. Let me ask if there's anyone here in opposition. There is. We give us a minute, let him speak.
Okay, sure.
Hello, Kevin Murphy, 4508 Murphy Road. I'm here on behalf of the Board of Scenic Knoxville in opposition to the variance request. So in this district, the sign area is determined by provision in the ordinance that talks about attached signs with a total sign area equal to 10% of the wall area of the primary building elevation, which in this case is the front of the building. And it is a narrow building. It is a narrow lot. But this is also an equitable formula for determining the attached signage area for anybody. If you have a narrow building, then you get smaller signs. If you have a larger building, you can have a larger attached sign. Also, the sign ordinance does provide flexibility to an owner, just, you know, further on in that same sentence, you know, such sign area may be used on any elevation of the building. So they have flexibility to determine how they wish to distribute using those signs. In this case, the choice to put a sign on the side of the building as well as the front is a design choice of theirs, and is probably what's causing them to need more area than required. But they have full, in terms of meeting, things about having a hardship, being a denied use and have full use, they have full use of the allowed signage area as specified in the zoning ordinance. And so we would argue that there's not actually a hardship that's denying them the usage of having their sign. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Hayes, I got one question for you. Trying to put this, where is this building located at exactly? I was trying to place it. Where is it located at exactly?
It's on Chapman Highway.
Mm-hmm.
The address is just a moment.
What's next to it there? What's next on either side?
It's down from Moody there. It's that they cleaned that up and put a new front there, and it's that Szechuan garden is just down the street, and it's down below Moody.
Yeah,
there. Okay. That's where it is.
Is this an existing tenant or a new tenant?
This is a new tenant with a new building. There was an old kind of strip center there, and they tore that strip center out and built a new building for them. And
is it a single tenant?
This is a single tenant there.
Can you talk a little bit more about how the narrowness of the lot affects the signage?
Yeah, I think it's like 78 feet, and the building is, 38 feet, I think it is. It had to allow some for some lot and some parking up there, I think is the reason that they made that lot so that building so small, so narrow, because that lot was, you know, just 78 feet, I think it was, wide. Excuse me, the lot's 84 feet wide. I've misspoken. Okay. I apologize.
No, sorry.
Brian.
Go ahead.
Brian.
What's that, Brian?
Yeah, I just wanted to provide a point of clarification. So a roof sign is a type of attached sign that's mounted on the roof of a building, and those are prohibited. Where the location of where the proposed signs are on this are allowed. It's just the determination for the square footage of the frontage there does not calculate that 4 foot high additional parapet that comes up there and determining what they're allowed for signage. So it's not a matter that the sign can't go where it is. It's the applicant wants additional square footage from what they're allowed for two attached signs versus what they're permitting.
The city of Knoxville that we obtain our permits for would classify that as a roof sign, which I totally disagree with, but a roof sign is a sign mounted on a roof, but that one is considered to protrude above the roof line, and she will not issue, whoever does it, will not issue that permit. They said it is above the roof line, and that is their interpretation of the code that is there. I don't know if it was meant that way. I sat on that board, that workshop for 3.5 years. We beat it out back and forth, and then that came up as an interpretation, which I do not agree with, but I live by whatever their interpretation is.
Peter. So I'm Peter Ahrens. I'm the director of plans, review, and inspections, and the zoning folks work for me, and we will not classify that as a roof sign.
You would
that,
not?
Okay. We will not. That is a wall sign, but the wall sign, the square footage is too large for what is permitted. And so that's what the board is hearing today. So it's not a matter of roof versus wall sign. It's a matter of the size.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
I was about to ask about that. There was nothing in here about roof sign. It just was about the size of the signage, and it's on the building. The building I see was moved up above the rest of the roof line, but it's still mounted on the building.
Yes.
You know, signage variances are, it's hard to come up with a hardship for signage variance.
Yeah,
so there are. That's what we're going to struggle with.
And my clarification is real quick. You said this is, we're actually talking about the additional square footage for two signs, right?
Total.
Yes. For two. Okay. And just making sure I'm on the same page. Why the need for the two in this location?
That is their desire, and they asked me to request it.
Yeah. One of the things I'm not sure I agree with that is equitable, and this is just my thoughts on this, it's a narrow lot, and the street face, the signage that's allowed, I think is measured off of that front facade. Okay, and when you get to a narrow lot like that, that's going to dictate this narrow design of building, you have a much narrower area to measure the allowable signage off of. And so when we talk about what is equitable, I'm not certain I 100% agree that just because this lot this kind of directs the building to be faced the way it does with a narrow aspect towards the street, that is as equitable as the building next door that gets more area to determine the size of their signage off of. However, I'm also not convinced they need more signage. And so that's what I'm wrestling with on this one. The narrow lot to me gives me some consideration that there is a hardship to look at a little bit more signage, but I'm not certain I see why we would add the additional sign on this property.
Okay.
Yeah, to me, it seems more of a, like you know, it's desire, but it's not necessarily a hardship per se. Also, I think the gentleman earlier brought up, like, there's a CAC, like a formula to establish how much space you would need for a sign. So it's not a matter of, you know, this is too big or too small. It's like for this amount of space or whatever, this is the amount, this is how large a sign is supposed to be from a numerical standpoint, right? There's a calculation, an objective calculation that you can use no matter how big or how small to determine how large your signs should be. And it sounds like that seems reasonable, right? So I guess I'm just not really understanding I get that it's narrow, but it sounds like it's more of a desire than that there is a hardship that requires two signs.
Mm-hmm. You ready for a motion?
Yeah, go ahead. I was getting ready as well.
I'll move to deny 12C 22 VA for a lack of hardship.
I will second that motion. Any further questions, comments from the board? Hearing none, all in favor of that motion? Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? No one's opposed. Sorry, it's denied.
Okay, thank you for your time.
12D 22 VA, Lynn Richards, 701 Cherry Street.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
I'm Glenn.
You have one recusal.
Yep. I'm Glenn Richters, 1008 Wallace Road, Knoxville. Our client, Orange Hat Brewery, is leasing a space on the corner of Cherry Street and Jefferson and would like to have a patio. It's part of their economic viability of the project. And the proximity of the setback is such that the allowable distance for a patio on the side along Jefferson is less than 10 feet. So we're requesting a variance that would allow us to increase that patio to a 20-foot width. Which takes it up to the edge, almost to the edge of the sidewalk. Along the back edge and around 15 feet up the side would be an 8-foot wood fence that would visually protect it.
Okay. All right, thank you. I need to take one step backwards and ask, from a process standpoint, were there any further comments from the city on this one?
No additional comments.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, let me ask if there's anyone here in opposition to this request. We do have one gentleman. Come on up, sir.
I didn't put a pictorial up on the screen.
We can do that. Where would you like to have up there?
Y'all, on the other ones, you had showing the variance. Y'all don't have it on this one.
Hey, Jennifer, can you get the variance up there?
Okay. My name is Glenn White, and I live at 2611 Jefferson. I live directly across from the proposed area. And I guess I have a couple of things. He answered one question I had was about a retaining wall, and he says it's going to be a wood fence, and wood fences, in my estimation, are pretty ugly. But the bigger issue, and I know they have it in their in the fine print here, it says it's going to be a mass wall, and I was just wondering what a mass wall was, but I figured it was something like that to cut down on or to mitigate impact on people's lots. You know, the biggest issue I have is late night partying. And in this particular area, it's going to increase the footprint of this particular business, proposed business. I guess they've already got it approved, 42% when you do the math. So that's going to be make it go from Alley to Jefferson, that whole building. There's a restaurant in there now, and I know there's a proposed pizza parlor, which doesn't impact these people, I don't guess, maybe in a positive way. But I guess, you know, when I look out my bathroom window, my bedroom's on that side of the house, I look right at this, you know, and I guess the visual thing bothers me. And the other issue I have is with noise. And I guess the secondary question I have is about hours of operation. I don't know if that gets into consideration when y'all approve these things. And I know you're probably going to approve it. I know that's the way it goes. And Scruffy City, I guess they're going to have to give a new name. We're going to have to be local bars. There's a lot of them on a lot of corners. And I guess that's the way it's all trending. But it's a residential neighborhood with a little bit of commercial in there. And Cherry Street's a busy street. We get noise off of Cherry Street, but it's a little different kind of noise. At one time years ago, maybe before some of you people were here on the zoning board and over here that reviewed the permits, they had a bar there on the corner. They had a nightclub there. I don't think it was approved, but they get out there and they had fights at night, you know, it's Hispanics. And I, you know, I've lived there for 25 years, so I've seen a little bit of everything from drugs to everything else down there. But I'm all for improving things, but if they approve it. And then the other issue I had was, you know, when the sidewalk down from where this variance is, I mean, you're going to effectively, well, I said 42% increase on the patio, so it would be like a beer garden. There's a wall there. The wall's at the highest point on that lot. When you walk down that sidewalk, it's 3 blocks high. They're 8-inch blocks, so you're looking at 2 foot knee high, you know. So I guess a fence or whatever they put there is going to keep people when they get too much drink falling out on the sidewalk or in the street. But I guess that's about all the comments I have on it. But that's my.
I have just one question. I'm sorry. Did you say it was full of Hispanics that were causing problems? Is that what you said?
I'm not. My hearing's not good.
Is it? Did you say that it was a bunch of Hispanics causing problems? Is that what I heard you say?
Tell me again. What's she saying? She got a mask on. Not really.
Did you say that it was a bunch of Hispanics causing problems? Is that what I heard?
A long time ago, they had it. I'm just saying what the use was. One time years ago, there was a. Like a, not a five and dime. It was a like a quick pick type thing. You know, it was a fast. And there was a guy was murdered there. That's been years ago. But then it changed hands, and someone else, and they had a club there, and it was a Hispanic club. And they, my point is not who they had. They were there late at night and around the parking lot fighting and that sort of thing. I don't deal with that type of. You know, as long as I'm living there anyway, as long as I live, you know, I'm just saying what kind of business was there. You know, anybody can get too much to drink and party and do whatever they're going to do. But that's my biggest issue is late night. And then I guess a visual thing. So okay. That's it.
I as the city's Cuban attorney, I just wanted to clarify on that. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Would you like a couple minutes for a rebuttal or?
Well, I'm not sure what to rebut the in terms of the in terms of the retaining wall. The retaining wall is going to be torn out and replaced. It is only 2 feet high, and then a fence will be run along it approximately half the distance to provide visual screening from the neighbors on both sides, both on the. What is that? The west side and then the south side. In terms of noise, I believe, and I really don't know, but the city has ordinances that control the level of noise from businesses and the hours of operations. And that would be what would control that aspect of it. I can say that this is Orange Hat Brewery. They're a reputable establishment, but that doesn't necessarily apply to something down the line.
Yeah. I'm going to ask that we not discuss the fencing because we haven't had an opportunity to look at it. And fencing on corner side yards and front yards are, as you know, different regulations. And so I'm not sure how much screening. And I think that would be inappropriate for this conversation for this variance.
Sure.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is the requested variance the minimum adjustment necessary?
I'm sorry.
Is the requested variance the minimum adjustment necessary to make the patio work for seating?
I would want to say yes, but I'm not sure to tell you the truth, to be honest.
Mr. Richards, what would you say? Like hardships are typically things that have to do with the land, the property, the way it's situated, the soil, weird shapes, size, things like that. I'm personally having a hard time understanding what a hardship is for this one, other than just we'd like to have a patio and it would fit here. And if we don't get a variance, we can't make it fit. I don't see anything driving that other than they'd like to put a patio there. What's the hardship?
The hardship is capacity. So I'm sure you've been, well, maybe you haven't been to breweries, or in this case, it's actually a tap room. It's not actually a brewery, but capacity, number of seats is important. And in most places, outdoor seating is an integral part of that. So the spring, fall, summer operations take advantage of that additional capacity and therefore make it economically viable.
Right.
I think maybe the existing building would be arguable.
Yeah, there's nowhere else to put you couldn't put a patio in the front without encroaching upon parking.
And forgive me, is Orange Hat here? I can't remember. I don't know. Is Orange Hat in this property currently, or is this a empty property they're looking at either buying or leasing? Do you?
I'm sorry.
Orange Hat is the tenant that we're talking about, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are they currently in this property already, or is this a property they're looking at leasing or purchasing?
They're looking at leasing it.
They're looking at leasing it.
Yes.
And so this is a proposed renovation to this building to build out the patio.
Yes. The buildings, the two spaces actually are being renovated together. So there's a tap room and a pizzeria.
Sure.
So if you do not, if we were to deny today and you can't get the patio, the second patio, what is the impact? Is it just you just won't have the capacity, which is a financial impact only, or is that the impact if you don't get the approval for the second patio?
It obviously has a financial impact on the owners, and they'll have to go back and make a decision on that. I can't tell you what the decision is.
Sure. Standard is reasonable use for the property, and just because you can't build a patio doesn't, in my mind, qualify that they have unreasonable use, or that some tenant would have unreasonable use. And I don't see a hardship to drive the size of the patio either. Why does it have to go so far? I understand that capacity is an issue, but capacity is a financial consideration in my mind, not necessarily a strict use consideration. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. And because it says mere loss and value should not justify a variance, I agree with everyone else. So
I'm going to make a motion to deny 12D22VA as it's submitted.
I second.
Motion is second. Any other comment or question?
My only comment would be, talking about reasonable use, talking about benefit deprivation of beneficial use. I think not allowing a patio would be depriving a beneficial use, a reasonable use. There's nowhere else to put a patio on this site, the way this building, and it does say narrowness, topography, or siting, and the way this building is sited, there's not anywhere else to put a patio except on that area there. So it would encroach upon the setback, but I don't see it having any kind of adverse impact in the neighborhood. It's on the corner. It's in a commercially zoned area. So I'm supportive of the variance. But
what'd you say about the beneficial use? What'd you say? Because this is helpful for me. I just didn't get that from him when we were asking about it. So this is the so additional context.
It's an existing building. So there's nowhere else to put a patio on this. It's not like they could design a smaller building. It's an existing building that they're locating in. So there's nowhere else to put a patio except in this particular area, which would encroach upon that setback. So that's how I'm interpreting it. But again, others can disagree.
The difference being that I might agree that that's the place to have a patio, but I don't understand what's driving the size of
it. Fair.
What's driving the size of it, other than that's what they want. Gotcha. It's not a hardship driving the size of the patio.
So would you accept a variance that was less, like a smaller patio?
I think I have the same struggle with the variance on it.
Because they don't, it's not necessary to have a patio there for that tenant space to be used. Is that
in part? The other thing is that the size of the patio, that's what we're talking about, is the size of the patio.
Based on the setback, they wouldn't have any space for any patio at all. If you look at their drawing, it shows where the 15-foot corner setback would sit, and it encroaches upon it. So,
and I get that.
Yeah, so that's why without approval of this variance, they wouldn't have a patio.
Right.
They couldn't have a patio.
Yeah, okay. I don't think I fully appreciated the fact that, like, if you can't do it here, then where, right? Even if it's not these people and it's some more people who want that additional capacity, and thinking about how can we provide that additional space using the way that it's currently set up due to the pre-existing makeup and structure. So
I'm not sure it's the only spot on the parcel. For why do we think it's the only spot?
That's what I'm saying. I didn't
go.
Is that true?
Can any of the parking area be used for patio space?
No, the parking is pretty limited. Because it's a multi-use building, multi-tenant building, we get some relief on the parking requirements. So there's adequate parking because of that, but it's, limited.
Yeah. And I know this is not residential, but I think sometimes we look at, when other people want to build something extra as well, because like we need this additional space for whatever reason, whether it's my car, whatever it is. I think I have like some of the same sentiments here with the spacing aspect of it and how to utilize that space if you don't add the patio. So I don't know. I'm kind of in between on this one. So y'all can put the vote up.
And we are supposed to make decisions based on hardship. And so... we have a motion and a second to deny 12D22 VA. I'm going to call for a vote on that motion, and then we can go from there. All in favor to deny 12D22 VA, aye? Aye.
I put the second up, so it wouldn't make sense to
you're not required to vote based on your second. You can second a motion for the purpose of just moving things along, so okay. you can vote however you want.
Change
to
your mind
it. Gotcha. Okay, well, with that being said, I was on the fence about it, but like I said, I didn't fully appreciate the fact that you wouldn't have any other place to do, and that's just not with this customer, that's with anybody that comes through. And so for that purpose, might be a nay today. So,
yes or no? All in favor?
No.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Motion fails.
I'll make a motion to approve item 12-D-22-VA as submitted based on the site, the hardship related to the site of the building.
I have a motion. I will second it, or you can go ahead, either way. I'll second it. Okay, motion to approve 12D22 VA as it is submitted.
Aye.
All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, next up, 12E22VA, R. Bentley Morrow for 1100 University Avenue.
Hi, I'm Bentley Marlowe, 322 Douglas Avenue.
Thank you, sir. Any further comments from the city on this agenda item? No further comments. Tell us about your application and your hardship, please, sir.
I have a 50 by 120-ish foot lot that has two structures on it. So there's really no place for parking. And the current existing parking is insufficient for the existing residential units, and engineering has told me that since it backs out into university, it's a safety hazard.
Okay, thank you, sir. Let me ask if there's anyone here in opposition to this variance request. I don't think there is. Very good. Questions and comments from the board. Oh, okay. I've seen this house. This
it's been greatly improved recently.
Yeah.
Greatly.
It looks great.
Thank you.
I've driven by over there. But so there's two structures on that lot.
Yes. The main house there, and then the little blue thing that butts up to the alley.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
So the house is zoned neighborhood commercial. It's previously was the duplex, one over one, and I've put both residential units on the second floor, and I've white boxed the downstairs for future commercial.
Okay.
And then the little blue house is a standalone house.
Gotcha. And you don't own the lot next door, do you?
Which direction?
Towards Callaway, up Callaway there?
1236 Callaway, yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. Have you thought about dealing with parking with that lot, or is there another plan for that lot?
Well, I had thought about that, but in discussions with Peter's group, you can't put residential parking on a separate lot or commercial parking on a separate lot. And in all the discussions, we decided we need housing, and I was wanting to put a duplex on the lot next door. So
I gotcha. And that's currently zoned RN2, not
C. Correct.
Okay.
And what I learned when I went through is rezoning across the street, even though I am neighborhood commercial, something about the one-year plan and the sector plan's wrong on this parcel. So it's kind of a mess.
What's wrong with it?
It's not consistent. It's got a one-year and a sector plan that's for residential.
Okay.
But it's neighborhood commercial zoned, and nobody seems to know why.
It's not holistically.
That it matters. But the land use designations are intended to inform future rezonings, so that you often have zonings that don't align with the land use designations, because that's future plans.
Thank you.
Remind me, I know there's no street parking on University, but on the cross streets, Callaway and others, are there street parking options available?
On Callaway, right in front of the house there for about 100 or so feet, there's no parking signs posted.
Okay.
We are on a bus line. There's a bus stop across or down the street. We're in the near downtown corridor, so we have a bike lane in front of the house. I really don't think parking's that critical.
Okay. I guess my question was, where would patrons park for this establishment? I'm trying to understand where.
Ideally, they're going to be neighborhood patrons and bicyclists and people within the community. There would be some they could find. I mean, Knoxvillians are going to have to learn that they can't park within 20 feet of the door's place.
Yeah.
So they could park further down Callaway. But the first 100 or so feet, until you get to the white house that's pictured, it's posted no parking. And I think I mentioned engineering in our meeting, if we could maybe get those removed, and I've not heard back from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll say, I mean, I drive by here nearly daily. I'm very pleased to see progress being made on this site. So I'm inclined to lean towards this. I absolutely see there's no way you could fit parking on here without
falling out of compliance with some of the requirements because it is very difficult for commercial parking. So you know, if unless there's more discussion, I'm prepared to make a motion to approve 12E22VA.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second. Any more questions, comments? All right, motion and a second to approve 12E22VA as it's submitted. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? No one's opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. 12F22VA, Mr. Johnson. While he's on the way, is there any further comments from the city? None on this one either? All right.
Good afternoon. My name is Daryl Johnson. I'm with Johnson Architecture, 2332 New Sentinel Drive. I'm requesting a variance to waive the minimum finished floor elevation for Calhoun's on the River exterior decks. This project has a bit of a history. It was started and permitted as an open air roof intended to cover the exterior dining areas at Calhoun's. And actually during construction, the owner decided that they wanted to enclose that area. So it became an addition with closable or operable garage doors, which then threw it into an Army Corps project and a TVA project. So we've been through all of these various different agencies, have received approval from everybody. However, it also throws it into the area of substantial improvement, which we do not meet. In the way that the code is written, if we do not meet that, we must raise all of the finished floor elevations to the finished floor elevation of the main restaurant. What we're seeking relief on is to leave the deck levels where they are. It's designed around that, and would like to present that as our hardship.
Sure.
Daryl, you said TVA and the Corps have already given their blessing, and now this is the city's.
Yeah, it's okay. All that process has already been completed. It's taken us about 6 months.
That's fast.
3.4 feet.
Question to the staff. What is the history on the logic of where that elevation is set? I mean, not a full history lesson, but the bridged version of why is it the level it is? And
it's set by FEMA. They've done studies to show that in the 100-year event, it goes to that level, and then the 500 event, it'd go to the other level that they set. It's just based on past storm events.
So the reason you wouldn't allow an enclosed is because that needs to be a floodable area, according to that flood prediction?
There's just a difference between a patio versus an enclosed building and the minds of the insurance.
Yeah, I mean, water people can wash through something without doors.
Right.
So, okay.
I will say, too, that the building is one of the TVA requirements is it is floodable. The garage doors are designed with flooding vents in them. The building's fully sprinklered. So, and it is, I did learn this from Peter and his crew, that it is not a canopy. It is a roof addition. So a canopy is at a gas station. Just FYI.
I like that. We get terminology lessons every month. We get terminology lessons every month.
Bill, do you know when the last time Calhoun's was flooded by a flood event?
I do not. Not since I've been here, since 1980.
TVA controls flooding in Tennessee River, yeah. I think my understanding. Yeah, I'll make a motion. We approve 12-F-22-VA as submitted.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, none. Thank you very much, 12F22VA.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And unless there's anything else before us, we'll adjourn our meeting. Merry Christmas.
Bottom right. Bottom right.
I'm sorry.